Let's go back to our general topic here tonight. What is integral life practice, Terry? You've written a whole book about it.
Yeah. The five minute or the 5 hour version.
Right.
What I think of as integral life practice, it really is paying attention to the whole shebang as we attend the school of life. The school of life is always teaching us lessons at one level or another, lessons about our hearts, about our discrimination, about our vitality and health, about prudence and self-responsibility. In many ways, those lessons boil down to lessons about awareness. You know, I'm often given negative feedback from life because of behaviors or failures to act that are rooted in my lack of awareness. Care. Often the failures have a moral component or a moral dimension. My inability to feel my feelings, my inability to care for myself or for people near to me or for the whole, for the world, for others, for people who are affected by my decisions, for the environment, for all kinds of different things that I might be failing to care for. And I get feedback in the school of life because my life is impoverished to the degree that I act out of a lack of care. And so that's another whole dimension of the curriculum. And then presence. You know, I'm not always very present. Particularly, I find I'm one of those people that has a really tough time. I'm the absent-minded professor type, so I'm not always very present with my car keys or my glasses or something. And it's a lack of being present. So whenever I have that difficulty, I take it as a way of inquiring into the way in which I was not being very present. And I intend to show up more fully. I let that be a teaching to me about being more present. And presence also has a dimension having to do with aliveness, you know, our vitality, like people who are like the winners of American Idol or something, you know, people who really show up with a lot of juice and a lot of presence in life, not always in such an extroverted, performance-oriented way, do bring juice to life. There's a kind of aliveness factor, and sometimes life is asking us to be more present in that sense, too, not just more present in the moment in an awareness way, but present maybe with more juice, maybe expressing feeling, being feelingly available to our intimates. You know, those are aspects of presence too. So at the point where in the journey of life we begin to care about all those things, where we want to be more aware, we want to be more present, we want to be more caring, we become practitioners. Inherently, just wanting to be a more whole being is a magnetic pull toward our wholeness. And so paying attention to that, people are, I think, by definition, then practitioners. They are intending to grow. And as soon as we're intending to grow, that's the decision to do an integral life practice. So in my book, you're all already doing an integral life practice, and so is pretty much everybody that would ever come to any of the teaching events that I attend. They don't have to have read Ken Wilber. They don't have to have read the book I wrote. They don't have to have heard of integral life practice. They don't have to think of themselves as practitioners. Anyone who cares to really wake up here, like be present to what's happening, just to show up for the event of life fully, to grow and in a sense to be an attentive and sincere and engaged student in the school of life is doing a life practice. And what would make that practice integral would be if they acknowledge that it involved their whole being, body, mind, spirit, soul, heart, you know, whole being, from the toes to the crown, from, you know, in our relations, in everything. And integral life practice is a way of talking about that universal matter that identifies a lot of really important and basic distinctions that helps us to engage that process of attending the school of life in a more rounded and balanced way. And it draws on the ancient spiritual traditions and the most effective practices that come to us through the wisdom traditions of the past, but it also draws on the insights of modern science, and it's very much informed by the kind of contextual understandings that come to us from postmodern psychology and philosophy, so that it's truly an up-to-date way of relating to this whole matter of practice. It doesn't just root itself in the ancient traditions, which are pretty much adapted to people who are making monastic commitments. The ancient mystical technologies for higher realization or for people who've got the luxury to dedicate their whole lives to the effort. And the form that an integral life practice is adapted to is householders, busy people in a 21st century world who are really having to cope with a whole variety of roles and time demands and bringing themselves to the school of life in a way that accounts for all that. So the approach of integral life practice is to, for one thing, acknowledge that all of life is practice, that the understanding of one's life as a constant process of learning and growth and development is the context of the whole for the whole thing, and then to appreciate that doing specific practices like meditating or exercising regularly and doing exercises that address the gross and the subtle levels of our body and anchor that in the causal body of the witness, the still witness consciousness, that those dimensions of understanding our practices that are rigorous help us then to be healthier. There's a kind of holistic hygiene. Just like we floss or brush our teeth, it makes good sense to meditate and exercise regularly and eat a healthy diet and all kinds of things that come together in the form of an outward practice, something that we could take on in a masculine fashion as a discipline and even commit to doing or not doing. And that is kind of an overview of what an integral life practice can be. Now, my understanding of that integral life practice is that its masculine form needs to be balanced with a feminine context. That is, we have to be also growing in our capacity to simply be with our experience and be with our disowned parts in a self-compassionate and tender and receptive way, not just bearing down and doing disciplines as if that's the only direction of wisdom and growth. So my way of contextualizing the integral life practice matter is, I think, not a hyper-masculine approach. But it does very much embrace and acknowledge and even at times stress the importance of masculine form, discipline, and doing practices. So when people come to me for instruction in integral life practice, I'll generally try to get them to start meditating regularly and doing certain exercises, and I'll check in about where things are at in their diet. I'll find out if they're doing shadow work and really engaging their own psychic depths and whether they're doing some kind of regular reading or other study that is sharpening their mind and discrimination and the framework through which they're able to understand themselves. Because all those things serve. But they're not the only point. They have to live in a context in which we also exhale, in which we do nothing, in which we be, and in which the doingness of practice is balanced by the beingness that is also essential to our health and balance. And therefore, I see integral life practice as an open architecture form for understanding the whole great matter of our wholeness and our growth and our development. Thanks. That was I hadn't quite summarized it that way before, but there you have it.